wonderful, majestic world around us, it's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
So, this week on Dear Science, we are joined by Marcus Jones. Kia ora, Marcus.
Very good to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Let's kick off with this first story, which says human influence on global warming is unequivocal.
Yeah, so you may have heard on the news in the last few days, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, with the IPCC, released the first installment of an assessment on the state of the climate, and it's not really that happy reading. This was the report reviewed more than 14,000 studies on the effects of global warming, and they were in agreement, or 195 member countries were in agreement with the outcomes of the report. And there'll be two more working groups, and their reports will be delivered by 2022. So more than 200 scientists authored and edited this report, and basically it says that if we continue with the current warming trends, the Earth will exceed 1.5 degrees C of warming and reach up to 2 degrees C by 2050, and that will be bad news for a lot of people, and it will further intensify the severity of extreme weather. And this is a pretty stark report. So there's some summary of some of the highlights or lowlights, if you want to say. The levels of atmospheric heat trapping carbon dioxide are now higher than they've been in the last 2 million years. Arctic sea ice is at its lowest point in the last 1,000 years. Glacier retreat is at an unprecedented level for the last 2,000 years or more. Seas have risen in the past century more than they did in the 3,000 years prior to that, and they're rising at about the rate of about 4 millimeters per year. Flooding events in coastal areas have doubled since the 60s. Heat waves are also occurring five times more often than they did in the 1950s. Droughts that used to take place once per decade have increased in frequency by 70%. And that number could double if temperatures reach warm by 2 degrees. Hurricanes are forming more frequently and are more and deposit more rainfall. And most land areas, including New Zealand, are seeing precipitation events that are more frequent and intense. And all of this was summarized in the report. Basically, everything is going to get worse until it gets better, and it's going to take a long time for things to get better. The conclusion really is there isn't any going back at this point. Some of the changes that we're seeing now can be slowed or maybe stopped in their tracks if we can limit the rise of temperatures to no more than about 1.5 degrees C above pre-industrial levels. But without large-scale reductions in emissions that are currently warming the planet, that goal will be just beyond reach. And achieving global net zero CO2 emissions is an absolute requirement for stabilizing CO2-induced global surface temperature increases. As many of you probably know, there is no sign that that is going to be achieved in the near future.
Oh, man. So that's pretty... bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go home now and cry.
Yeah, us too.
But it was a sad note to start the show. Is that a surprise at all to you?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I think it's been stated in the most unequivocal way possible. So if there are, and I know there are, but if there are still skeptics out there, you know, it's hard to refute. You know, when you're, you know, you're bringing data from thousands of studies together, there are hundreds of scientists working on this. You know, and 195 countries agree. All 195 countries agree on the outcomes. It's there is no doubt.
Yeah, the facts are there. Let's move on to this analysis, which reveals that strange turns of phrase may indicate foul play in science. Tell us about that.
Okay, so this is a little lighter. I saw this, and I wasn't going to talk about it. But then I saw some of these phrases. So this is a report about what they called tortured phrases, And these are phrases that people have started to notice in journal articles, especially for some reason in computer science articles. And they seem to be giving away fabricated research, or they seem to be like a clue that the research in the paper is fabricated. I can't say that. So what they found is that they've started looking at these papers. People started noticing these sort of strange phrases. They couldn't understand why researchers would use the terms counterfeit consciousness for... So this is a computer science paper. Can you guess counterfeit consciousness? Do you think that would guess what that was referring to?
Oh, we read this before.
Yeah.
And I've completely forgotten.
So counterfeit consciousness, artificial intelligence. Yeah. Profound neural organization was a deep neural network. And colossal information, which is a good one, is big data.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they were turning, using these phrases instead of the typically used or the typically accepted phrases. And so they started looking into this a bit more, and they found that more than 860 publications included at least one of these phrases, and 31 of which were published in a single journal. So 31 publications in a single journal, Microprocessors and Microsystems. And it's, they think what has happened is that this is a result of automatic translation or software that rewrites text, existing text. And the people who were looking into this ran these articles through a tool that could identify whether text had been generated by the artificial intelligence tool called GPT. I'm not quite sure what that stands for. And what they found is that these papers, they found critical flaws in some of these papers, or most of these papers, such as nonsensical text, as well as plagiarized text and plagiarized images. So it seems like there are scientists or institutions that are churning out counterfeit papers, effectively rewriting papers that have already been written, but using an artificial intelligence or translation software that replaces phrases with something that should mean just about the same thing. But they're replacing phrases like big data or artificial intelligence with phrases that would never be used to explain those things. So a couple of other terms that we were using. So cloud computing was replaced by haze figuring.
That's a good one.
Which is quite good. I might use that one.
Doing haze figuring recently?
Yeah. Oh, yesterday I was doing some haze figuring.
Yes, that's right. A random value. And you can see this is artificial. A random value was an irregular esteem.
Right. Okay.
And signal to noise was flag to commotion, as in flag to signal.
You'd just be so confused if you were reading one of these like journal articles and you came across phrases like that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So obviously this is not good, and the journal publishers are now looking into this, and they've agree that they're probably using this reverse translation software to disguise the plagiarism, but they're not disguising it all that well.
No, clearly not.
Yeah.
Finally, let's talk about this mysterious dimming of, and I don't know how to say this, Betelgeuse star? did I butcher that?
Just a bit. That's all right.
I'm not the expert.
You're not a child of the 80s, so if you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Betelgeuse.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like what you said,
but Francis. Can you say that again?
No, absolutely not.
It's Betelgeuse. I think I talked about this a year or so ago. So about 12 months ago. So Betelgeuse is a bright star. It's a red star. And if you see Orion in the sky, the constellation Orion, it's one of the corners of Orion, and it's pretty obvious when you see it. It's fairly close. It's huge. It's many, many times, hundreds of times bigger than the sun. And at some point in the relatively near future, and that could be tomorrow or it could be a million years from now, it will go bang in a very big way, and we will be able to see it, the supernova explosion, and it will probably be brighter than the moon, so we'll be able to see it during the daytime.
Wow. Yeah?
So people were a bit excited when 12, excited as astronomers get, 12 months ago when the star started dimming. So it went its brightness dropped by about a factor of two. Two and a half, actually. It became 2.5 times fainter. And they thought, well, could this be a precursor to ultimately it going bang? But then it got brighter again. So it was a bit strange. For a few months, it got fainter. And then at its dimmest, which was late January 2020, they calculated its effective temperature that had dropped at about, it was about 3,200 degrees C. And then a few months later, about 6 months later, it had returned to its normal luminosity and with a surface temperature about 200 degrees warmer. And so they were a bit confused. This probably wasn't meaning that the star was going to go bang, but they've decided now, after doing some spectroscopy, so they can, using big telescopes and looking at the colors, different colors of the light that come off the star, you can actually figure out what is there, what molecules are there, what elements are there. And they looked at a few molecules of titanium, titanium oxide and titanium cyanide, which tend to form more readily in cooler environments. And you can see this. So this star is hundreds of light years away. But you can see these molecules. And what they found, what they've decided, that this is probably caused by sunspots or star spots, I guess, because it's not the sun. So if you look at the sun, or if you project a picture of the sun, you often see sort of these small black spots that move across the sun. And the same thing should happen, and it's probably more likely to happen on a star like Betelgeuse, which is a red giant star. And so these would be sort of dark patches that cover quite a large portion of the surface of Betelgeuse, arise because from disturbances in the magnetic field flow of the star, and then just dissipate as the spots on the sun do. But this is the first time they'd seen this, and while the excitement was a bit unfounded, maybe, because it's probably not going to go bang yet, it allows us to understand a little bit more about these stars, and maybe also a little bit more about how these stars process the elements that they're made of, because these sort of stars, when they go supernova, they are the primary sources of heavy elements in the universe. So things that you're made of, and things that we're all made of, actually came from an exploding star.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
Helps us to understand it more.
Yeah. Well, I hope I get to see Betelgeuse explode in my lifetime, now that I know what it is and how to say it.
Can I just say, I'm just looking at the spelling of Betelgeuse, and I can understand why you said it the way you said it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
B-E-T-E-L-G-E-U-S-E.
Yeah, bit of a tease. But
anyway, thanks for chatting with us, Marcus. That was really interesting, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You're very welcome. See you soon.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.